This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. Drew's taking a long weekend with the family. He'll be back with you on Monday afternoon here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You know, it really is our human nature. Just 10 days before Christmas, you have probably shopped for some type of electronic toy to give to somebody, or perhaps you're hoping for the newest iPhone or the newest whatever. It's technology. We have to have the latest and the greatest technology, but sometimes that technology, and you've probably felt this even with your own handheld devices, the technology is smarter than you are as well. And that's a problem. Not necessarily if you've got a smartphone or a tablet with the smart technology, but when science is moving just a little too fast, where the science gets ahead of where you and I are with our moral compass and the foundation of our Catholic faith and who you and I are as Roman Catholic men and women. And as we look at that yardstick and apply it to reproductive tech that is out there, and you've heard us talk about all of the different technology that is so-called advances, we'll put that word in quotes, these assisted reproductive technologies, they're certainly more commonplace. You hear about them. We talk about them. But how fast are they developing so they're really ahead of where we are and should be as Catholics? Let's go inside that right now with Father Tad Polchuk, who is the Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He's also the author of a column called Making Sense Out of Bioethics. Perhaps you read that in your diocesan newspaper. It's in a number of newspapers across the country. You can find out more at fathertad.com. That's Father Tad Polchuk's website, fathertad.com. He's also coming out with a brand new video series called Seeking the Moral Path. And the very first one out is called The Gift of Dying Well, and you can find that at vimeo.com/bioethicsvideos. And Maggie's going to tweet all that out on the Drew Mariani Twitter account, so you can get all of that. Father Tad, it's good to have you back on the radio with us.
John, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Science is moving very, very fast. You and I have had these conversations over the last several years here on Relevant Radio, but sometimes it seems to move too fast, and it moves at a pace where it just certainly is farther down the road than where we are with our moral compass, or as far as we're going to go, because we know the very foundation of our Catholic faith. Is there any way that we can slow down this science? Is there any way that we can bring our voice as Catholics into the science, specifically as it applies to all of the developments that we're seeing in assisted reproductive technologies?
Well, I think this is an area that has become commercialized very, very quickly. It's turned into a multi-billion dollar business. And so the problem is, as soon as you get dollars or megabucks behind something like this, nobody wants to hear about ethics. Now, that doesn't change our obligations as Christians to bring this up, to talk about it, to educate people about it, to inform them that there are incredibly important goods that are at stake here. And that there are some significant moral lines that are being redrawn in virtue of this pursuit of profit, kind of turning reproduction into a business proposal. So we really have to, I think, step up and here make this a topic of discussion. But also, in the long run, I think part of our goal has to be to move towards establishing legislation that will regulate this, because, as I said, once the money comes into play, there's very little interest in the ethics. Mm. And this is something that is not regulated currently. In the United States, we're dealing with what we call the Wild West of infertility. It's a vast and unregulated domain, and really people can do pretty much what they want. In other words, if you run one of these clinics that attempts to help infertile couples, and you make the decision that for each customer that comes through the door, you're going to produce a dozen or more embryos, human beings, each one of those, there's nothing in the law that will prevent you from doing that. And if you then start to implant them to try to make the woman pregnant, and the first one takes, and you're left with 11 abandoned embryos that now have to go into the deep freeze and get stuck there for 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years, we don't know how long, you know, this is a situation of grave, grave injustice that we need to, you know, be raising consciousness about and passing laws. When I say passing laws, I'll just make one more observation here, which I think is an important one, which is that in countries like Italy and Germany, they do have laws, unlike here in the U.S. And their laws say, if you do in vitro fertilization in this country, you're only allowed to make 3 embryos total, and all 3 must be implanted into the mother. You're not allowed to make extras. You're not allowed to freeze embryos. You're not allowed to experiment on embryos, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a very reasonable kind of a law. Now, it's not even a Catholic law, as you can tell,
sure,
but it's just a law that's trying to limit some of the damages that accrue when we go down this pathway.
Father Tad, as we look at the developments, and I'll put that word in quotes, in reproductive technologies, is it safe to say in the United States of America it's a fertility industry? Would I be accurate in describing it as a fertility industry?
Definitely. That's precisely what it is. It is a huge industry without regulation currently. It's a big business, an enormous business, and it's expanding very, very rapidly.
What did the overturning of Roe versus Wade, what kind of effect did that have on this fertility industry?
Well, I would say at this point, not much. In other words, I think the people who run this industry tried to take some preemptive action and sort of get on the public airwaves and say, you know, the passage of Dobbs is going to prevent us from being able to carry out our business. And of course, you know, all we're doing is something very, very good. We're giving people babies. Everybody likes babies. Babies are wonderful. So
right,
kind of stay out of our way. So at this point, I don't think there has been much in the way of impact of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. My hope would be that at some point that might happen, that people would see the connections here, that when you do in vitro fertilization, you often instrumentalize, to use the fancy word, young human beings. And you will sometimes do IVF, and if some of those embryos don't look like they're growing quite perfectly, they can be poured down the sink or otherwise destroyed right in your own lab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a kind of subjugation of young human beings that goes on routinely in that setting. So I think, you know, we're in a situation here where, and in a historical moment where we may have the possibility, thanks to the overturning of Roe versus Wade, to once again engage consciences about a very important matter that has sort of slipped under the radar for the most part.
As we use the fancy term, Father Tad, assisted reproductive technologies, it sounds relatively innocent. What effect would we have as Catholics to change the conversation and to say this is simply baby manufacturing? Is that something that just makes us feel better as Catholics, labeling it baby manufacturing, because that's truly what it is? Or can we use that as a way to open the door to have a couple realize that perhaps if they're going down this road, it's the wrong road to go down?
Well, you're raising a question about terms. And of course, whenever there's a moral debate about anything, part of the strategy is to change the language, to co-opt the language, to grab a hold of the key terms and redirect them. And I think that has happened here. Even the term, as you put it, assisted reproductive technologies, this is not really assisting reproduction in the sense of if reproduction is what happens, you know, in the marital embrace, the loving embrace between a husband and a wife, this is not a form of assistance. This is completely replacing it with an entirely different act. What is that act? Let's go down the street. Let's pay $15,000 to another third party to generate a baby for us on our behalf, sometimes even using surrogates. And it's a complete replacement, not assisting the marital act, not assisted reproductive at all, but replacing it with an entirely different kind of production or manufacture. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the terms are important here to get them correct, to think them through, to recognize that the moral lines are being subtly shifted as we grant some of these incorrect usages to kind of gain a foothold, as we allow them to gain a foothold.
And Father Tadpohulchuk, as we talk about this and these, quote, advances in baby manufacturing is what we're talking about in this industry here in the United States. Smitty is adding to our conversation, listening in Houston, Texas. Smitty, talk about a company that has come on your radar. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. There's a new immorality that's about to come into our world. The company is called Ectolife, and you can find their pod on YouTube, and they're going to manufacture babies for sale, bioengineered babies in these pods. So it'll grow like a fetus. It'll end up crying and growing, walking, talking into an adult. So this is what's coming in our world. And I think these things are our bishop or Vatican, everybody needs to get this under the radar and get this talking.
Yeah, Smitty, thanks. I think those observations are very helpful. And what you're describing, I saw the report on that. I think it got quite a bit of attention in the media. And this is an attempt to, in a sense, eliminate motherhood. We don't need women and motherhood to bring new life into the world. We can just use machines and mechanize the whole process. And this poses many, many concerns. And I certainly agree that all of us, but I think in a special way, women should be reacting to this. And you see, part of the difficulty here, it goes a little broader, I think, in the sense that what is it we have been doing already for many decades in our world? We have been saying to women, you all need to get onto the pill. You all need to put your fertility to the side. Fertility is not such an important thing about being a woman. We can, you know, just have you go into the workplace like a man. And once that has happened, the whole understanding of the value of women is transformed and changed. And then it becomes easier to do things like this, where we manufacture babies, where we have pods that they gestate in laboratories, and people become desensitized because this becomes just another option that people can choose in a world full of commercial options. So this is something that I think we have to respond to it on multiple levels and say, no, wait a minute, the beauty, really part of the beauty, an important part, central part of the beauty of a woman is the fact that she has been entrusted with this power of bringing new life into the world together with her husband. And we must safeguard that and not allow it to be substituted by these raw technological forces that will then harm offspring and harm future generations of humanity in very, very profound ways.
Smitty, thanks for adding to the conversation in Houston, Texas, listening to Relevant Radio 1110, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We are talking about the moral framework or lack thereof with the advances that we're seeing in reproductive technologies with what Smitty had just told you about and what you've probably seen and what Father Tadpohulchuk, the Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center, is raising in our conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show, 888-914-9149, as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. and Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. We're talking about the fertility industry. And yes, you heard correctly. Fertility is an industry here in the United States. Our morals have taken a back seat to the big business of manufacturing babies. It's our conversation here with Father Chad Pahulchuk, the Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and online at fathertad.com. Maggie, who's one of the producers of this program, and I were having a conversation off the air. Where are today in 2022 going into 2023 the modern heroes of our faith? Where are the Abrahams and Sarahs when it comes to creating new life in the womb? Where are they in this conversation, Father Ted?
I think you're raising an important question about the meaning of infertility. You know, we look in the Bible and we see many couples who struggle to become pregnant, and their reliance on the Lord in those very difficult circumstances. And I think in, 2022, 2023 here, as couples still widely encounter infertility, the spiritual question is an important one. What is it that the Lord is doing here in the midst of our marriage? We want a child so badly. And this, of course, drives some couples to choose to turn to the infertility industry when really they should be looking at this in a different sense and saying, clearly, the Lord has made us fruitful, but not fruitful in our particular marriage in the usual way. What is it that he's saying to us more broadly? And sometimes it'll be an issue of, well, we can be real mother and father figures to others in the community, maybe big brother, big sister outreach. We may be being invited to adopt a child when their parents have died and they're left as orphans. Perhaps becoming a school teacher where somebody is a mother or a father figure to a whole classroom of children. These are very, very important, very real dimensions of expressing maternity and paternity in our society, and sometimes deeply needed. So sometimes the Lord's plan may not be exactly as we thought it was going to be when we get married. You know, if we encounter a case of irresolvable infertility, we need to be looking at those other approaches. Now, of course, there are other times when the fertility is resolvable, and it is important, I think, to carry out due diligence there and investigate, is there a problem with maybe a blocked fallopian tube and we could have a minor surgery that would fix that? Is there a problem that she's not able to release eggs and ovulate properly? There are many different ways to approach that issue. Is there a problem on the man's side? Very often those can be addressed as well. So it's important to investigate that and make sure that you've done due diligence, but if there's a case of irresolvable infertility, I think the Lord is speaking to those couples oftentimes in very important ways, and we need a certain openness to hear the alternative plan that he may be opening for us.
I've talked about this before, and it's intensely personal because as an only child, it was a very difficult pregnancy. 4 years after my mom and dad were married and I came along, and it was a very dangerous pregnancy as well at the time, called extreme unction. We both received that sacrament, my mom when she gave birth and me at birth. She lived to be 95 years, 8 months. You and I are having this conversation today. 11 years later, my mom is pregnant again. Miracle of miracles. And she lost what would have been my sister, Stephanie, to miscarriage. So this is intensely personal. And my mom would always talk about that and would help other couples. In fact, one of our neighbors was having a very difficult time conceiving. Beautiful Catholic couple. And my mom said, here are some saints to pray to. And oh, by the way, Sacred Heart Church is having a very special mass for couples who are in the same situation you're in. They went to that mass. And now their only child is a freshman at university. So this is what makes this story very personal. And that's why I don't understand the disconnect of those who would go for this assisted reproductive technology, this baby manufacturing. A two-part question, Father Tad. Are manufactured babies eligible for baptism? And if that couple comes before you, can you legally ask them how they conceived?
Yeah, good questions. I mean, I'll hearken back maybe to your wonderful story that you shared. I think, you know, the aspect that really strikes me there as beautiful and powerful is the support that your mom sought to provide to others and the way that the church rallied around couples with infertility. That's something I think we need to conscientiously do. We need to be there when people are struggling with infertility. They feel often alone, and this is where they become especially vulnerable to the infertility industry and to the offers that they're seeing, you know, in magazines and on TV and on the radio to go down a path that is not a moral path. And so here, I think the church has a lot to do, but a lot to offer as well. We need to be creative in finding how to do this. I remember one time speaking in, I think it was Richmond, Virginia, and there was I was speaking to a whole group of priests, might have been, you know, 60 or 70 priests in the room, talking about in vitro fertilization with them. And one of them said, you know, I've got a really, really big parish. And in my parish, we have an infertility support group. And this is the kind of thing where infertile couples get together. They sort of minister to each other. He said, I, as the priest, I sometimes show up at the meetings. And this has become something, you know, a real point of healing and support for many of my parishioners. So his parish was big enough to do that. I think, you know, each of us has to be looking for those opportunities to support those who are finding themselves in that difficult moment of not being able to conceive a child. So your questions about baptizing a child who has been conceived, let's say, through in vitro fertilization, of course, such a child can be baptized. The child has no fault here of its own in this regard. It's not as if the child is somehow being, you know, locking themselves up and preventing access to the sacraments because of the way they came into the world that they had no control over. Now, there is a concern on the part of the parents that when you talk about sacraments, this is something that the parents need to bring to a good confession. This is not something that, you know, should be taken lightly because it deals with what is a very serious matter of conscience and grave matter that is involved with the choice that they made. So they need to clear the decks with the Lord Jesus here, you know, through a good sacramental confession. And your second question was, is it appropriate for a priest to inquire of people who are bringing a child for baptism? And I would say that every priest has to, you know, do due diligence as well with respect to the people who are coming to them and ask questions that will be, at the end of the day, questions that will facilitate a journey closer to the Lord. And knowing some of these types of issues can be very helpful to get couples back onto a good footing. So I think this can be, depending on the details or the circumstances, this might be an appropriate moment in some situations to, you know, discuss it further with the couple and to ask them those types of questions.
Father Tad, we have a couple of moments remaining, and I want to talk about your brand new video series that's out called Seeking the Moral Path, and the very first one called The Gift of Dying Well. This is at vimeo.com/bioethicsvideos, and we'll tweet that out so you can get that. Tell us a little bit more about the video series.
Yes, this is a series that's dealing with a lot of modern issues in bioethics. The first one deals with the gift of dying well, how to make good end-of-life decisions. And there will be forthcoming one on same-sex attraction and ethical issues. There will be another one on transgenderism. And there will be one on contraception and Catholicism. And the last one that's planned for this series will be dealing with embryos and embryonic stem cell research. And all of those have been filmed, but they're in various stages of post-production.
Will you also put them up on your website, FatherTad.com?
That's correct. They will also be up there, so you can get to them either directly through Vimeo or through FatherTad.com.
FatherTad.com, Father Tad Poholchik, the Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and also check your diocesan newspaper, or if Father Tad's column called Making Sense Out of Bioethics is not in your diocesan newspaper, let them know that it is out there. Point them to FatherTad.com and the pragmatic and the very faithful advice that Father Tad Poholchik always gives us today as we look at this multi-billion dollar global industry that is now monetizing reproduction for anyone and everyone willing to pay for it, and certainly the moral implications of that and how we have to get ahead of that as Catholics. Father Tad, thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless you too.
Cale Clark coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.